This is By Yahweh's Design with Pastor Dan. Now here's Pastor Dan.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to By Yahweh's Design. I am Pastor Dan, your host, for this one-hour live radio program coming to you over the Heritage Broadcasting System. We're coming to you via the C-band satellites, internet, and in some areas fortunate to be receiving the FM rebroadcaster signal. They are our Paul Revere's for today. We're also coming to you via WRMI, Radio Miami International, over the shortwave band at 7.385 megahertz. We wish Yahweh to bless each and every one of you. First and foremost, we dedicate this program to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who was later surnamed Israel. All good things come from Him, and we wish to give Him all the praise, glory, and honor for allowing us this opportunity to bring His truth to His holy remnant, the lost sheep of the house of Jacob Israel, also known as the Caucasian or Aryan peoples of the earth. Hallelujah, Yahweh, all praise Yahweh in Hebrew. This is a two-seed line racial covenant identity ministry, and we've been studying this truth for some time, and we are in a constant search to bring you information from various sources that reinforce the doctrines and the faith that we teach. Tonight's program is entitled, Your Redemption Draws Near. My guest will be Sergeant First Class Stephen Berry, and he'll be with us here in just a few minutes, but we've got some things to go through before we get to Stephen. Charisse, are you ready to read the poem?
Yes, I am, Pastor.
Okay,
Dan.
Would you do that, please?
Thank you. The title of this poem this evening is Darkest Before the Dawn. It is always darkest before the dawn. Oh, what a time-honored phrase. But what you may not realize is that it speaks of the latter days. Watch the skies, Yeshua said. Prepare to heed the call. For out of darkness comes the light, but He does not come for all. Rejoice, O children of Yahweh. Be glad of the darkness at hand, for it means the pure light of our Heavenly Father will soon radiate and sparkle across this mighty land. Every wreathing shadow, all the vermin in the mist, will be exposed and brought to light by Yahweh's mighty fist. It is always darkest before the dawn. We know this to be true. Well, it's getting pretty dark out there. Question is, who's coming after you? Thank you, Pastor Dan.
Indeed, that is a good question. Who's coming after you? Folks, if you haven't figured it out, all this trouble in our land is due to our disobedience. Yahweh has allowed our enemies to rise up above us in almost every aspect of life in this land. And it's simply because we, His children, sons and daughters, will not obey Him. He wants us to return to Him, and that is the focus of this ministry, is to bring this information to you in the hopes that you'll realize that the solution is for us to come back to Yahweh. Definitely at this point in time, with so many poisons and pestilences upon us, we would encourage you to call Saltbox Herb and Dr. Judy, because she's got a ton of information there in naturopathic healing and different things of pure water, etc. Great deal of information. You can call her at area code 724-639-9607. And I certainly hope you're tuning out the Talmud vision and the other aspects that the Pharisee Jews of today are cramming down your throat, lie upon lie upon lie. Tune it out and tune into the alternative media, of which Heritage is just one source. But we happen to think that we're bringing you some pretty good programming here. So we hope you're enjoying it, and we encourage your feedback either through email at the Posse Comitatus website. Scriptural basis for tonight, I want to go to Luke chapter 21, starting at verse 7. I'm not going to read all these verses, but we're going to hit some of them here, which the topic of this particular area of Luke is dealing with the signs of the times. And in verse 7, he starts out, Now they asked him, saying, Teacher, but when will these things be? What sign will there be when these things are to take place? Then he said, Be on guard that you are not deceived, for many will come against my name, saying that I am, and the time has drawn near, but do not follow after them. And when you hear of wars and rebellions, do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass first, but the end is not right away. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Great earthquakes will be throughout place to place with famines and pestilences, which are diseases and epidemics. And there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. But before all these, they will arrest you and persecute you, handing you over to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. But this will be your opportunity to witness. Therefore, make up your minds not to meditate beforehand what you will say, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to withstand nor contradict. And you will be betrayed by both parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you will be put to death, and you will be hated of all men for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. Through your persistence, acquire your life. Then it goes on down to verses in 25, and there will be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and on the earth, distress among nations in their perplexity at the roaring and surging of the sea, men's courage failing them because of fear and because of the dread of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with great power and glory. So when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. That word redemption, by the way, comes from the Greek apolutros, and it is a compound word, and it means a releasing effected by payment of ransom, redemption, deliverance, liberation procured by the payment of ransom. And who paid our ransom for us, folks? You bet, Yahshua Messiah. When Yahweh came in a flesh body and paid the price that you and I deserve. And so he should have the glory and honor at all times and have your faith and allegiance. All right, again, tonight your redemption draws near. And my guest will be Sergeant First Class Stephen M. Berry, who is United States Army retired. He is the editor of The Resister, the political warfare journal of the Special Forces Underground, which bills itself as the only truly anti-communist publication in America. Sergeant Berry retired after serving 24 years in the United States Army, 21 of those years in the United States Army Special Forces, with the single-minded purpose of murdering with malice aforethought American communism. Stephen, are you on the line?
Hi, I'm here.
All right. Welcome to the program, sir.
How are you doing, Pastor?
Oh, I'm hanging in there. In fact, I was thinking about tonight.
That's quite a buildup. I don't know if I can live up to it.
Well, I
got a lot of feedback.
Excuse me?
I'm getting a lot of feedback.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe the folks at Heritage here can fix that up for us.
Okay.
But anyway, I was thinking of that that quote again that you have, that the Special Forces uses when you're in a particular predicament, that it might apply to us today.
Oh, we're surrounded, that simplifies our problem.
I don't know why, but I get a charge out of that one. And if folks don't think we're surrounded, they just haven't been paying attention, what with our Chinese communist buddies on the West Coast and fixing to build that port in the Bahamas on the east side of us, and now they've got the Panama Canal. If that doesn't mean you're surrounded, I don't know what does.
Oh, I just had reports from some Special Forces guys got back from a trip to Panama. And the whole thing is just the Panama Canal is just collapsing because the logs are running it. They're trying desperately to get white people down there to run the stuff, but it may be too late because we started turning it over to them several decades ago, letting the logs run the machinery and the locks and everything else. If everything keeps going the way it is now, the projection is that within ten years at the very outside, the Panama Canal will be utterly useless. There'll just be a ditch with a bunch of stagnant ponds between the Atlantic and the Pacific.
Uh-huh. Well,
now I can't even hear you now, Pastor.
You can't hear me?
No. There you go.
Okay. Well, then, well, hopefully the folks down there will stay on top of it here for us. Anyway, you mentioned here in a note that there was a rider in the defense appropriation bill about the military.
It's H.R. 4205. It was the National Defense Authorization Act for fiscal year 2001. And it's got a section 361, which was inserted by the Defense Logistics Agency. And the essence of the rider, the essence of the section 361, is that if you have any surplus military equipment, then you have to turn it in to the Defense Logistics Agency for demilitarization, or as it's commonly known, DMIL. As anybody in the Army knows, DMIL means destruction. That section 361 first came to the attention of people who restore and fly restored World War II aircraft, because it would require them to turn their multi-million-dollar restorations over to the Defense Department for destruction. But that bill does not, that section in the bill does not specifically target just World War II airplanes or military airplanes. It targets every single piece of surplus military equipment that came out of the Department of Defense, even though it was sold legitimately by the Department of Defense to surplus dealers or what have you. They'd have to turn it all in for destruction. And that means anything from a set of battle dress that a veteran kept when he left the military to veterans of foreign war, people who bought an old armored car to stick out in front of the lodge. So it's just another little hidden thing they tried to sneak through in order to demilitarize the civilian population.
Uh-huh. And what could be their possible motivation for doing that?
Well, the possible motivation would be, like I said, to demilitarize the civilian population, because what it would do is it would criminalize an entirely new class of people. Including collectors and also militia groups. Many militia groups equip themselves with surplus equipment. And if they were caught stumbling around the woods and with military equipment after this bill had passed, they would be subject to stiff fines and prison sentences for having military equipment that happened to demilitarized, unquote.
You don't happen to remember the names of the folks that were sponsoring that, do you?
Floyd Spencer.
Who was that?
Floyd D. Spencer.
Oh, Spencer. Okay. I just wondered if it was more of our Pharisee friends.
They don't need to be so overt. I mean, they're plenty of guts that'll run around and do their work for them.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And before we get any further here, Guy, if you would, I personally think the Resistor is an excellent quarterly magazine. For the listening audience that's not familiar with it, Steve puts this out, and it's just jam-packed full of articles by himself and other contributors, primarily with from a military background. But it's about 100 pages long, and it's just got a ton of information, including information about our Edomite friends, the Jews, which I'm sure upsets them greatly, but it exposes them for what they are. And if you would, tell the folks how they can get a hold of you and get a subscription to that, because I think it's an excellent periodical.
Okay, before I do that, I just want to let everyone know that this issue coming out now is very late. It's been a very busy summer, and so this issue is about 3 months late getting out.
Uh-huh.
But you can get us, the address is P.O. Box 35046. That's P.O. Box 35046. Fayetteville, North Carolina, 28303. Let's say again, 28303.
issues. It's not necessarily 1 year. It'll be for 4 issues.
Mm-hmm. Okay, excellent. I did notice...
You're fading out again, Pastor.
Excuse me?
You're fading out again, Pastor.
Oh, okay. Anyway, I noticed the...
You're four by right now.
Okay. The North Carolina just got the distinction as the highest birth rate of Hispanics, from what I understand. And I didn't know that there were that many in North Carolina.
They bring them up by the busloads.
What in the world?
They drive them up by the busloads and just drop them off.
Who is they?
They? What we have is we have a bunch of Tyson chicken plants in North Carolina. Well, Tyson, of course, Clinton's buddy. But what they do is they truck these Mexicans up because they'll work for half wages or whatever, which of course means that our blacks that had those jobs no longer have those jobs. And so what they do is they just haul these Mexicans up and dump them off. Tobacco farmers hire them to pick leaves because the blacks aren't brought in the fields anymore to pick leaves. A lot of it's centered around the agricultural stuff in North Carolina, particularly tobacco and chickens and hogs.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do is they just bust them up, dump them off, and go down and get a new load and bring them up. Like my county, Cumberland County. The last 2 years, 2 years ago, we had 2,500 Mexicans here. This year, we had 25,000.
Good grief.
Yeah. And it's the same in most of the eastern North Carolina counties. It's just exploding. We have one of the largest Mexican populations in the United States.
Well, we're being flooded, as the prophecies tell us, that the adversary, Satan, if you will, would know his time was short and would send a flood in after the people of Yahweh, and the flood is here. I mean, it's coming in from the across Texas and California, and now we're on the East Coast, North Carolina, and I've got friends in Tennessee that said that it's almost as bad there.
But Georgia's getting very bad, too. Georgia's the other big state.
I'm curious as to what it's going to take to wake up our people. I mean, I am really, really amazed that they're not just fighting mad yet. Before I go on here, though, let me give the call-in number for tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, it's area code 812-476-3026. And the lines are open if you feel like calling in. Yeah, I know that this flood, I mean, even up here in the great north of Michigan, I've seen an increase. Not quite as bad as you've got it, but it's definitely an increase. And just incredible that these people are doing this under our noses, and the folks here just don't seem to understand what's going on. Hey, I noticed that you'd sent a clipping here that they're doing a story on you. You want to go into that a little bit?
About maybe twice a week, I send either op-ed pieces or letters to the editor to the local fish rep. Just let them know that I hate them. And this is going on now for about six or seven years. And I have a pretty good track record of getting stuff in there. Apparently they stumbled on the Southern Pharisee Law Center article that was done on me last year in the Intelligence Review. And they called and asked if it was okay if they get a profile piece on me. So being a practical man, I figured, well, you can't buy this kind of advertising. So I said, yeah, sure. And they sent a reporter and a photographer out here. And I think they were very disappointed.
Why is that?
Well, they came in here expecting, I guess they expected me to be dressed up in camouflage with weapons hanging all over me and NSK flags hanging all over the walls. Nobody found were walls covered with bookcases. it wasn't quite what they expected.
Uh-huh. How long of an interview did they give you?
That's about 5 hours.
5 hours?
Yeah.
Did this air yet?
I can just barely hear you.
I'd say, did it go on the air yet?
Oh, no. It's going to be in the newspaper.
Oh, okay. 5 hours. Holy cow. If they really wanted to know what's going on.
the poor woman got an earful about one of the fundamental origins of a nation's destruction. She was horrified, of course.
You must be talking about...
I can't understand how she could be held personally responsible.
Okay. We got about 4 to 5 minutes before the break here. Now, I see a piece here that they're going into, this I can't hardly believe, but they're going into basic training self-paced.
Let's save that for the next segment, Pastor, because that's just too juicy for a 2 or 3 minute blurb.
Okay, well, we'll pick that up after the break then. Okay,
well, but we'll tease the audience and let them know that the Army is going over to self-paced basic training.
Okay. We're going downhill fast, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
I'll tell you, people, if they're not really sure why, you know, I entitled this year "Redemption Draws Near," it's because we're just listing some. I mean, I get so much stuff in during the week, it almost makes my head spin.
I get overwhelmed.
Yeah, I do too. There's so much going on, and there's some good things going on. Don't get me wrong, but these scoundrels, these criminals in our state and federal government are just beyond belief in what they're up to. It's just absolutely, and the scripture tells us that we'll know them by their fruits. And as Colonel Farrell and Jim and Pastor Bruce Soloway said on their programs during the week, they're being exposed at an unprecedented rate right now, and it's not really because, you know, of anything miraculous. I don't believe. It's just simply that they are so grotesquely obvious in what they're doing that many people are waking up. And one thing that brings to mind here before we go to break is this UN summit. Somebody sent me a little blurb here. Apparently our butcher of Moscow, Mr. Gorbachev, started this whole ball of wax up with these elitists in New York. And he's talking about the fact that the UN needs to be more powerful. They need, in addition to the Security Council, he says, we need an Economic Council and an Environmental Council with authority equal to the Security Council. And interestingly enough, I've got a UN development report from 1994, and everything that these clowns are talking about is in that 1994 report. So these people don't dream this stuff up overnight. I mean, this stuff has been in the planning for a long time. And if you want to, you can go to Oxford Press in New York and get a copy of the 1994. And I believe there was one in 95 and on. But 1994 was very pivotal as far as the outline for a lot of this globalization government that they're trying to cram down our throats. It's all in that 226-page pamphlet. And all this stuff that Gorby here is informing us that him and his elitist buddies want to cram down our throat, it's all detailed in this nice glossy little publication. But this article also talks about the long-term objectives is a UN army, a UN centralized economic plan and tax system, world government rule on macro issues regarding economic relationships, resource distribution, culture and the environment, and world government rule on micro issues regarding families and children. We can pick up on this a little bit more after the break too, but it's just incredible the stuff that's going on. Anyway, folks, we're about at the bottom here, and again, I'm going to give you the call-in number before we go to break. It's 812-476-3026, and our redemption had better be near because with all this stuff that's going on between the diseases and the natural disasters and what these scoundrels are doing, we certainly need his help more than we've ever needed it before. And if you're not crying out to him to intervene in our behalf, shame on you. And again, it's break time, so folks, we'll be back with you here in just a second. Steve, hang on to your thoughts there.
working for a prize that was to come.
Welcome back to Yahweh's Design with Pastor Dan. Now here's Pastor Dan.
Welcome back, everybody, and again, tonight's program is Your Redemption Draws Near. My guest is Sergeant First Class Stephen Berry, the publisher of The Resister, and I want to give you a couple announcements here before we keep on our topic, and the Feast of Tabernacles is coming up, and we're going to be celebrating it here in the Republic of Michigan and Fremont, Michigan, on October 7th and 8th. That's the weekend, and we certainly would encourage anybody in the area to come along and help in our worship service and fellowship service. And you can contact Pastor Bruce at area code 231-924-9369. We also salute our watchmen, particularly Jim and Pastor Bob, and both the United States Air Force retired Colonels Farrell and Namella for their great work. Colonel Farrell on the air and Colonel Namella in his writing ability. I've been reading his stuff, and he is just, he's like you, Steve, a well-read individual, and he's prolific in his letters to congressmen and different organizations trying to wake them up to what our hideous Jew folks are trying to do in our country, and that we need to be taking a more sterner look at their activities. Okay, now, we've got, we may get back to the UN here, but let's get on this self-paced program for our military.
Well, one of the things that's been happening is because the quality of the soldier coming into the military today, which is in large part due to the public education system and other so-called social pressures, is so low that the traditional means of conducting basic training, where you run people around until they're exhausted, berate them, harangue them, curse at them, beat them if they need beating, and otherwise force them to do what is expected to be done, has gone completely out the window. And in large measure, this is due to women coming into the Army, coming into the military in general. And because women are in the military, they have to lower the standards so far to accommodate them that now basic training has become, for all intents and purposes, so thoroughgoingly feminized that it is essentially no different than some kind of little day camp thing or some summer camp adventure for kids. It's gotten to the point now. Excuse me. It's gotten to the point now where drill sergeants are no longer allowed to raise their voice to the trainees. They can't swear at them. They have to have, quote, infinite respect, unquote, for their young charges. Trainees are no longer required to refer to drill sergeants as their tormentors. Now their drill sergeants are kind and caring mentors who are going to enfold them into the, quote, Army family, unquote. And basic training has gone recently to a self-paced training system where if a soldier doesn't get it immediately, under the old system of teach, demonstrate, practice, test, if the soldier doesn't get it immediately, it's okay. He'll get it eventually. Just let him go at his own pace. I've seen this in action. I was at West Point in mid-July while they were doing training for the new cadets coming in, and I was watching this go on. And they just daggle around in groups of 15 to 20. No one ever, I didn't hear one raised voice the entire time I was there, from the instructors. They all just kind of huddle around and, nod appreciatively when the kind and caring, instructor, you know, coaches them through some mundane little, task that soldiers would have gotten beaten for not being able to perform about 20 years ago. And they just lollygag around and just kind of give it a half-assed effort. acclimated to this because West Point's on the cutting edge of all these politically correct policies that are being pushed down the Army's throat. And sure enough, there it was. I was watching it in action. And it was really very pathetic. So it may be heartening. It may be heartening to those who contemplate the eventual time when they may have to confront the U.S. military that, now for all intents and purposes, they have an army of women of both sexes.
Well, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
I believe this is being done intentionally.
Oh, I do too. I have no doubt about that.
And the reasons are obvious to those of us who've been studying this issue for some time. That we're not even going to go there. Most of the people listening probably know what I'm going to talk about there anyway. But my question is, what are the armies that we may have to face in other lands doing?
They haven't changed. As a matter of fact, we're arming them. We're transferring all our technology to them.
So they're,
Most of your listeners may well know that last year, Communist China openly and publicly declared in their military journals that the United States is their declared enemy.
Well,
and we keep shipping them all our highest state-of-the-art military equipment to, quote, modernize, unquote, the People's Liberation Army. And Admiral Pruer, who used to be the Commander-in-Chief Pacific, is now negotiating with the People's Liberation Army for U.S. soldiers to go over to China to train the People's Liberation Army in U.S. military tactics. Matter of fact, we just had a bunch of People's Liberation Army generals in Washington, D.C., who attended a high-ranking seminar on U.S. military training methods so they can implement them in their own army. In other words, we're not only equipping, we're training our enemies.
Well, I personally
not
hope
me, that... We're not doing it. We both know who's doing it.
Well, we know that, but I think it'd be a great idea to ship over these feminists over there to their army and start teaching them the way they're doing our guys. That'd be a great thing.
It's not for them, you see.
I understand. I'm being facetious here.
I know you were.
But unfortunately, stupid Americans sit back while we have blatant treason being committed in the Red House, and I really, really, as an ex-serviceman myself, I am really disappointed with the hierarchy in our military today that does not see this blatant treason going on and do their duty and put an end to it. I mean,
we have
guys,
Pastor Bob with us.
Okay. We got these guys doing this stuff, and it is absolutely blatant. I mean, there is just no other way to slice and dice it. It is blatant treason, and they're committing it under our noses, and it just boggles my mind. The Russians, the Chinese, they train soldiers the way soldiers should be trained. We run these little kindergarten shops and turn out these people that you would think are soldiers, and really, they're more prone to play video games. I guess they think all future wars are going to be played on computer screens.
Well, that's another development.
Oh. Hey, Steve, we've got a caller.
One of the new projects going on. They're in the testing phase right now. As a matter of fact, they've actually got an entire infantry brigade testing this stuff out. And what it is they've completely digitalized the equipment of the soldier. So now the soldier has a TV camera on his helmet. He has a little laptop computer he carries with him. He's got a GPS on his body. He's got all sorts of high-tech stuff. But what it does is somebody can sit like 100 or 1,000 miles away and pull it all up on a computer screen and find out where everyone is and what everyone's doing. All right. So now what they're asking the soldiers to do is not only asking the soldiers to locate and fight the enemy. They're asking him to sit there with a computer or the laptop computer in the middle of all this and input all the data that he supposedly sees while his TV camera scans around. He's using all his other high tech stuff, and it's getting to the point where you remember what was that movie? Aliens 2. Where the lieutenant sat in the big APC and watch TV screens and everything going on, giving orders.
Right.
That's exactly what it's going to.
Incredible.
But that's just on the technology level. On the conceptual, on the military conceptual level, what's actually happening is we're reverting to the old Soviet Army command philosophy. The old Western tradition of decentralizing military operations, subordinate commanders, is now being done away with, and we're centralizing all of tactical and operational matters into a higher chain of command. So the low level leader, the platoon leader, company commander, potentially even the battalion commander, is no longer going to have any command authority over his troops. He's going to have to refer to some higher authority, someone sitting at a television screen watching everything going on to get his orders. And so we're actually reverting to the system the Soviets used with the highly centralized.
We've got a caller, Steve. Pastor Bob from Nevada. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Pastor Dan, for taking my call.
All righty.
I wanted to get the Steve's website number so people can go to the resistor.
Okay.
Well, there is no website.
He has no website.
No website.
Okay, or how people could get a hold of your magazine.
P.O. Box 35046.
35246?
35046.
046. I can barely hear you.
I can just barely hear you. Fayetteville.
Okay.
North Carolina.
Right.
28303.
8303?
283-0-3.
28303.
That's correct.
Alright.
And a sample copy is $15. Description is for 4 issues, not 1 year. 4 issues for $50.
Okay. I wanted to ask your opinion on two different things, and I'll list them off the air because I can barely hear you.
Okay.
One is, what do you know about the 17 admirals and generals that were killed in the Learjet around the time of the Oklahoma City bombing that were supposedly on their way to arrest Clinton for treason? And the second question is, being as the our military is 100% under UN, shouldn't we, the American people, now consider the American military our enemy? And I'll listen off the air. Yahweh be with both of you.
Okay, take care. Yahweh bless.
All right, question number one, I don't know anything about that. When I first heard about that, I juiced the net to see what anyone could come up with, and no one could come up with anything.
Uh-huh.
On the second question,
tough one.
I think at this point that's a dangerous proposition. I think at this point we still have an opportunity to push our own young men into the military, at least to get them trained. I don't think we need to consider our military, and we have to separate the military from the chain of command and from the national command authority, all right? When I say that, we have to separate the people who join the military out of honest patriotism.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We can't hold them blameworthy for what the chain of command does. It's not the soldiers who are our enemy. It is the chain of command who is our enemy.
The Candy Clark.
Right. The people who are making the decisions are our enemy. But the individual soldiers, they're just doing their job. They're doing what they're told. I would have difficulty placing blame on the individual soldiers and the smaller unit commanders. I reserve my criticism for the chain of command for allowing this to happen.
I've got a question for you, Steve. In light of what we're finding out about what the training program is in the military nowadays, with its heavy propagandizing and indoctrination and a lot of the feminist nonsense is being pushed on them, is the value still there for even the training? Is it worthy of entering the service, is my question.
For us, yes. Where else are you going to get the training?
Well, I'm not really sure. There's ways of getting it. It's not obviously as well known.
So why should we pay for it?
Okay. Oh, you got a point.
We can put our young men in the army and insist that they enlist as infantrymen. Only infantrymen. That's the only thing they should enlist for, infantry.
Okay.
But it's still mostly white.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Gotcha.
But our young men should enlist for the infantry, demand the infantry, white infantry, and get 4 years of training. And they should also refuse promotion.
Refuse promotion.
When they come out of basic training, they'll be a private 2, a PV2. They may get PFC, private first class, but they should not go any higher.
Uh-huh.
They should not seek any promotions. They should not seek any responsibilities. Their sole purpose, their sole goal in life is to attain 4 years of infantry training as a private.
Okay.
And the reason they want to stay a private is because they don't get sucked up into all the politically correct crap that goes along with the chain of command. If they get promoted to sergeant, then they're automatically responsible to the chain of command and they're responsible for implementing the policies of the chain of command. You understand?
Yes, sir.
So by remaining privates, they receive the training, all right?
Yep.
But they don't get sucked up into that whole politically correct system.
Okay.
Which has a more demoralizing and corrosive effect on a man's character.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. You're in an organization where you're forced to adhere to this stuff, and you're forced to propagandize it if told to do so. So it's better to sit there and just let it roll over you as a private than to be in a position where you have to implement it as an NCO. So if our young men will join the Army as infantrymen, or even the Marine Corps as infantrymen, and just get the training, then what we are doing is we have a constant rotation of our young men, and I mean our with a capital O, young men, being trained as infantrymen, and they will come in handy later.
Do they have a 2-year program still?
No. No, okay. The minimum enlistment is 8 years.
Eight
and what you'll do is if you enlist for 8 years, you'll serve 4 years active duty. Then you're required to serve 4 years in the reserve.
Okay.
There are very few reserve infantry units. So what they do is when their end of time in service comes up, their ETS time comes up, they opt for the immediate ready reserve, the IRR. This does not require weekend drills. All it does is require them to let the Department of Defense know their current address. That's all it requires.
Uh-huh.
All right?
Okay. That's pretty much what I was under.
Yeah.
Okay.
What we do, they go in for their enlistment. They've got 4 years active duty as an infantryman, as a private. They learn the craft. They learn the trade. And then they can kick back. And the chances of them getting called up for anything as an IRR reservist are slim to none.
Okay. All righty. Well, if you put it that way, I guess I can see your point. It's just disheartening to know that the chain of command has become so corrupted that you even have to talk about this sort of thing, the fact that you don't want to get promotion.
Well, it is pretty sad, isn't it?
It's just in my lifetime.
But, you know, we have to be brave enough to talk about it.
Oh, certainly. We have to. And we give the father the credit that we've been allowed to. We've been on the air now just over a year, and we've had guests like yourself, and a lot of our programs have talked about these kind of issues that just aren't getting talked about in the regular media, whether it's print or video or whatever. I mean, they're just glossing over it, and they keep feeding the pablum to the sheep out there and keep dumping it on them. Keep them in the dark like mushrooms and feed them BS, and you know it's just a shame. I mean, it's just I cannot believe in the years that I've been on this planet how it has changed from the 50s when I was a boy to now. It's just incredible to me when you take a moment and you look back at the changes that have been made. It's just like what happened, you know?
Because the velocity of destruction is breathtaking.
It has definitely speeded up. And you know, there's people who say, well, how do you know that this is the latter days? Well, I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know that it is the latter days, obviously. But I would warn folks that never before in the history of mankind have we had the technology that we have today. Do we have the entire globe connected electronically and by mail and by aircraft? We've never had the ability for the beast to track you and spy on you. And so if it isn't, it's sure missing a good chance to be one as far as the latter days. And besides that, our command, according to the scripture, is to be constantly on guard, constantly fit mentally, spiritually, and physically, to be constantly armed and know how to use arms, and to resist evil with all our hearts.
So, I think that's one of our greatest dangers, Pastor, is that we become slothful.
Yes. Do you read Chuck Baldwin's articles?
I'm terrible with names. Give me a refreshment.
He puts out food for thought.
He puts out what?
He puts out a thing called Chuck Baldwin's Food for Thought from the Chuck Wagon. Very good articles. And the reason I'm mentioning him, I just got one late yesterday, and it's called What If Christ Doesn't Return for Another 50 Years? And I'm not going to read the whole thing because we don't have much time left, but he basically says what I was just saying there, that, you know, a lot of our brain-dead Christian folk out here, the Judeo-Christians, I refer to them because they've been Judaized, they've been lulled to sleep by the serpent.
That's a pretty good description.
They have this thing in their head. There's two things that really makes them impotent, and that is that they believe that Christ will return any day now, so that allows them to sit on their ass, or they're going to get raptured up and be taken away from all the catastrophes that they admit they see coming, but they've got this notion that for some reason the Messiah is going to take them up and away so that the rest of us are going to suffer while they are given this grand tour of heaven, and they're going to watch it from the bleachers up there. Both cases, they use it as an excuse to be non-participants in what's going on. And it's sad.
Well, I think you're absolutely correct about this whole notion of so-called Judeo-Christianity.
Uh-huh.
It's mind-numbing. It's deliberately intended to numb the minds of otherwise devout Christians. And whenever that term comes up, my response to that is that if Jews are God's chosen people, and Christ's crucifixion was utterly meaningless. If the passion of Christ was meaningless, then Christianity is a lie. Much more, it's a blasphemy. And that's precisely what Jews believe.
Very good.
That's my response to Judeo-Christians.
What's the response from them to you?
Open-mouthed amazement. Stuttering, stammering.
Like hitting them with a tuba fore, isn't it?
Yeah. No, it's like clubbing baby seals.
Oh, man. Well, you know, it's not, I don't mean to poke fun at them, but sometimes it's just like...
Well, they're part of the path of destruction, though. That's our problem.
Yes, absolutely. They need to wake up. We're hoping to reach them, but the Messiah told us it wasn't going to be a majority that's going to come through the fire.
True, the path is narrow.
And exactly. So we're pretty much concentrating on fellowshipping with those that are awake and trying to do things. We're trying to form a co-op up in this area of folks with like mind to help each other, support one another, and stop using the beast system and those kind of things. If we encourage that to continue, we'll come out as he commanded us to do, come out of Babylon. If we would stop, now think about this, if everybody who professed to love Yahweh, Father God, and the Messiah, if everybody who professed that would just stop supporting the system, it would collapse.
But just refuse to support it. You know, all it takes, I've discovered some things over the years, and all it takes is like a dozen people to walk into a city council meeting, listen to some proposal, stand up in unison and say, we are not going to do that. It takes them aback. They don't know how to react to it.
Oh, yes.
It doesn't have to be a threat. You don't have to intimidate them. You don't have to throw knotted ropes at them.
Uh-huh.
You know? You just tell them, we're not going to do that.
Oh, absolutely. My father used to have a saying. He told me that a man with conviction is a majority. The problem with our people today is not so many of them don't have any convictions. They're wishy-washy on almost every issue there is. In this mad spree to get along with everybody and be tolerant, they've given up all of the moral convictions that we used to hold dear to our hearts.
Well, that's one of the logical conclusions of mainstream Protestantism, isn't it?
Oh, man, I'll tell you, it's absolutely sickening. I just don't understand it. The last few minutes here, we got another article here, which I wish I had time to read it, but this is from the American Policy Center petition, which is a declaration of independence from the United Nations. Excuse me?
I was joking.
Oh. So there are a lot of, and this isn't the only one. In fact, one of my guests that's going to be on in 2 weeks is from Virginia, and he's with a group of patriots, and they've come up with basically a new version of a Declaration of Independence and a petition to the World Court for a redress of grievances against the Fed government. Of course, we understand that it's not going to go anywhere, but it would be a sort of last peaceful attempt to get them to do the right thing, and from that point on, the Christians...
In other words, they're appealing to Satan, for redress of Satan?
Well, in a sense. I questioned that aspect of it, and it's simply to demonstrate, as our founding fathers did. Our founding fathers tried every peaceful means before it got to the musket balls. And I believe, and we're going to talk about it on the program, I believe they think that this is sort of like our founding fathers. They made one last ditch effort to peacefully resolve this, and from that point on, if they do not behave, the moral obligation to do things peacefully would be gone. Does that make sense?
I understand the rationale.
Okay. We're out of time, Steve.
Okay.
Oh, so thanks a million for being on. And,
all right, Pastor, thanks for having me.
God bless. Take care.
Bye.
Okay, folks, again, it's been a pleasure being with you. We hope Yahweh would be with all those who are crying out to him and bless them and keep them and keep that spirit of strength and take away the spirit of fear. Never fear your enemy, folks. And also I would encourage folks next Friday at 8 o'clock to tune in for the Daughters of Jacob Israel on this same channel. There's a special tribute there to our watchmen. And we've got some very, very dynamic watchmen today, and obviously Pastor Bob and Colonel Farrell and the other folks that are on are doing a great job, and we want to salute them, and we also pray Yahweh's protection and guidance upon all of them. So thanks for tuning in, and Yahweh bless one and all, and by his will, we'll see you next week. Take care, and keep your powder dry.